Welcome back to the Trade Raiders Podcast, a podcast where we read a different trade paperback every week. I'm Daniel, you're Nathan, we're brothers, read comics.
Yeah. And normally when we have a guest, we have the creators of the comic books that we have on the show. So who's our guest this week?
Someone with awards. Nobody. Let's get to the news. we got my buddy Jordan Gilbert.
Did you almost forget his name?
I never look at his last name. I never refer to him by his full name.
How you doing, Jordan?
I'm doing good. How are you guys doing?
Good, good. Why do we have you on?
Because I've been deep throwing Invincible for the last, 5 years.
Fuck yes.
Yeah.
This is the only man I know that has finished the entire run of Invincible like I have.
It's finally happening after, 4 years of this shit being announced.
I know.
We're getting a TV show. We got to be when this comes out, so.
Yeah. I remember when they first announced Invincible as being a TV show, and they announced Seth Rogen was going to be behind I was literally in college in a different major like 3 or 4 years ago. I thought I was going to be in a science related fucking industry.
Yeah, fuck that nerdy shit.
And then I got out of it because I wasn't good at it.
Let's get to comics though.
Yeah, so before we get into Invincible, we got some comics news.
Did you have hella news this week?
I had a hella news.
Oh my god. Did you know that the Stark cabin from Endgame is an Airbnb that you can rent?
That's kind of badass. No, I didn't know that.
I did hear about that. Yeah.
I saw a video of it and you recognize that house because you just know the scene so well.
Do you think they just Airbnb'd it? Do you think people that own it knew what was happening?
Yeah, they didn't know someone was filming
there. I'm pretty sure they got paid bank just to fucking...
Probably not, dude. They probably scammed them and were we're going to need it for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden they're just watching the biggest movie of all time.
That's my fucking cabin. It's $100 a night.
Insane.
That's not really news. I just thought it was exciting.
Good enough.
Apparently... Zack Snyder revealed that he wanted the super mullet, and
I would have been okay with that.
When I guess when Superman normally returns, he has a mullet with the black suit, and then he also wanted a Jon Stewart cameo.
That would be cool.
But it was all denied by Warner Bros.
But they fucked up everything involving Green Lantern in that movie. Apparently
they killed him like a little bitch, like he's supposed to die.
Apparently the very last scene in the Snyder Cut, which I guess we'll talk about later, but apparently that very last scene with Martian Manhunter in it was supposed to be a Green Lantern. But Warner Bros. Was people don't like Green Lantern.
Yeah, people don't like Green Lantern because they fucked it up.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
But, speaking of that, Snyder Cut, there was an interview that came out where he said that he would have been okay, I guess, with Lois being pregnant, he would have wanted, I guess, their son to be Batman. So Superman and Lois's son to be Batman.
There's a whole thing.
Which I fucking hate the idea of that.
Yeah, there's a whole thing about what he would do with his Justice League trilogy, and it's insane.
Hashtag restore the Snyder Cut, am I right, boys?
Restore the Snyder Universe, let's go.
Yeah, that's what it was. That's insane.
We got, I don't know if this is pushback or anything, but Venom, September 17th.
What are you talking about?
Venom, Let there be carnage. Let there be cringe.
Oh, is it an event? What are you talking about?
The movie.
The movie. That's right. Is that delayed?
Yeah, I don't know. This is just the new date.
Yeah. Oh, gotcha.
I mean, they delayed Morbius plenty of times, too.
Dang it. Everybody wants to see Morbius. Everybody give us Morbius.
Whatever the fuck that is. We need that. do you have any news?
I do.
Are you looking around still?
Have you heard of Grant Morrison?
Don't know him.
Have you heard of Grant Morrison?
I've heard of him. I'm familiar with him.
Have you heard of Mikael Janin?
Oh, yeah. I pronounce it Mikael Janin in my head.
That's probably how it is. I don't know. I think it's fancier than that. But those two are doing a book called Superman and the Authority.
Wait, the superhero team, the Authority?
I have no idea.
That's supposed to be in the future?
That's Midnighter. And then where's, what's his name? Apollo? Yep. Oh, dude, this is going to be fucking gnarly.
Are you familiar with the Authority?
No, I'm not.
You would love that shit.
Is that a DC book?
It's yeah.
Originally with Brian Hitch, right?
It's Vertigo. Brian Hitch was the artist. I think it was Mark Millar, and then Grant Morrison did the second trade of it.
Okay, interesting.
So Grant Morrison's done a lot of old shit.
Yeah, he's pretty big.
Like Arkham Asylum.
Yeah, JLA.
Doom Patrol is a big one of his.
That looks like it's newer.
He's Doom Patrol and the
All-Star Superman is a big one as well.
That's the way Superman should be.
So he's depressing. He's probably got Superman the most right out of everybody, but he's doing this another Superman book, but with the Authority, which looks pretty kick-ass.
Nathan?
No idea.
God damn it.
I just saw
it's
the
barely
cover.
News.
What are, you're barely news.
He's got some Green Lantern from what I see, too.
Yeah, he just wrapped up his run on Green Lantern.
Okay.
I did about 2 years worth of it.
Nathan's been loving that shit.
I've been loving it.
Apparently there's some sort of like AT&T like investor meeting, and they announced like all this DC shit. Did you hear about this?
Yeah, I did. There's a couple new things in there, but a lot of it we already know about.
The League of Super Pets? I didn't know that.
That's gonna be dope, dude.
That's gonna be the hottest thing.
Animated, like
probably.
It sounds like it.
Okay.
Superhero High.
We only know like the titles of these.
GCPD? Are you shitting me?
That'd be sick.
Oh my god!
Just like a Gotham City show.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Okay. It's basically just Gotham.
I guess it wouldn't just be Gotham, yeah. I don't know why they would do that again.
We know about Batwoman, Supergirl. Zatanna was announced. That's
Zatanna.
New.
Yeah.
Batwheels? That's going to slap.
That sounds sick. These could be like video games. These could be animated shows. We don't really know. We only know like the titles of them.
And we already knew about like Blue Beetle and Static Shock and stuff like that.
And like Peacemaker and things
Pierce
like that.
Pierce Brosnan has been cast as Dr. Fate.
That is news.
I did see that.
Yeah. I think that's a great casting.
I'm not against it. I'm just okay with it. Just like with a lot of their other castings, I'm just like, all right, like...
It's a name, I guess.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't know who would be like a bad cast for Dr. Fate, I guess.
You just put a fucking helmet
on. You don't really
on,
see
like...
him anyway. Yeah. I was about to say,
I can't imagine his like voice work is like incredible.
My favorite like thing from him is off the like Young Justice TV show. And it's like not even necessarily what he's about normally. That's just like my first...
Oh, Dr. Fate?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's just like my first introduction to him.
That's all I know about him.
Yeah. And that they did
I've
that
only
really well.
I've only known about Dr. Fate from reading Injustice, and that's it.
Oh right,
yeah. He plays like a big part in it.
Did you guys hear the Suicide Squad trailers releasing tomorrow?
Yeah, I heard about that.
Well, when this is released, it'll be today, and
it'll be today.
Out.
Yeah,
it's hardly news, Nathan.
Hardly news.
We'll talk about it next week.
Okay.
Marvel threw in the flag. They're releasing Black Widow on Disney Plus.
After they delayed it
in the theaters on July 9th. What was that?
After they delayed it for the last, like, umpteen times.
Right.
It was supposed to release, like, last March, I'm pretty sure.
I thought it was...
I think the original date was May.
Was it last May?
I think so.
That sounds right.
Yeah, so it'll be a little over a year that it's been delayed, which is wild. But I guess they have to at some point because they have other projects in the works as well.
Yeah, they
so,
can't
like,
just keep
the more
holding
they,
it off.
Yeah, yeah, the more they delay that one, the more... The other ones get delayed.
But that's the problem with delaying movies over and over is that people are just going to not really give a shit. Like, after the third delay, you kind of just go... Okay.
Just don't even check don't anymore. Even bother. Yeah. Like, get it. It's going to take a minute.
Yeah. I'm, like, kind of over, like, No Time to Die as well. Because I just, like...
Oh, yeah. That's
if that movie was, like deleted,
years.
I wouldn't notice.
If they just, like, never, like, release it. I wouldn't think about it for, like, another 20 years.
I don't have, like, this craving for, like, James Bond shit.
Yeah. Are you familiar with Andrea Sorrentino?
Yeah, love him.
He's doing a DC book, but he hasn't announced what it is yet. He just gave us hints. So he said,
what a tease.
It's with an incredibly talented writer on one of my favorite DC characters. He says, it's my first work with this writer, but he/C, he didn't even slip up on that, worked on this character already, and it's what you'd call a AAA book, so... Expect quite a buzz when once it's announced.
Someone's going to get a flat
and
tire.
And then he also said, bonus, it's not Tom King. So, and then he posted a picture with like a big crash like lettering thing. It doesn't give us much, but I'm excited to see what he does.
What things crash?
I don't know. Lots of things.
Okay.
Windows. From what it looks like. So yeah, we're big fans of Andrew Sorrentino. I don't know if you've seen things like Gideon Falls. Or...
I heard about Gideon Falls. Yeah. I've never read it.
Mm-hmm.
But I've seen it around.
He's a pretty creative. He's a like pretty amazing artist. I actually just saved this randomly on my phone, but he kind of has like a really
X-Men.
Yeah,
okay.
He did a bunch of X-Men covers.
Did he do that new run of X-Men that a lot of people were liking?
No, that's like a couple different artists were pairing up on
was
that.
Was that Tom King too? That he did that.
That's Jonathan Hickman.
Hickman. Okay.
He's a recurring joke on the show because everything he writes, I just don't understand because he's like so complicated.
Definitely. Helen Mirren was cast as Hespera, a daughter of Atlantis, for the new Shazam movie.
What does she act in? You didn't look this up?
No.
I saw this news and I was like, I don't know who that is, so I didn't even look.
Helen Mirren, actor. There's like a thing that she's like.
She's like the older woman. Okay.
She's in red. Have you seen that?
Oh, I have seen that.
The old lady in red.
Cool. She's good.
She's pretty good. I don't know anything about that character or anything. Atlas was in All-Star Superman, right?
Atlas?
Yeah.
That's who she's cast as?
No. She's like a daughter of Atlas.
Atlas. That sounds familiar, yeah. That sounds like it's
All-Star. I think he's like one of those people who are like hitting on like Lois Lane and trying to like show up Superman in like the third issue.
Oh, one of those douchebags, right?
Yeah, one of the douches.
That's cool. I like that. Here's some news that probably no one should care about, but I feel like it's kind of big. You know, Diamond Distributions or whatever, how yes. DC like parted ways with them.
Yes.
Marvel has also parted ways with them and Ooh. Picks a distributor called Penguin Random House as their new distributor, which is one that DC went with, I think, in conjunction with another one.
Damn, the fall of Diamond. That'd be crazy.
They had like the monopoly on everything, and now they don't have the big two. But Penguin Random House also has like a bunch of other ones. It doesn't really matter for like consumers or even comic book shops either. So I don't know what the reason behind that change was.
They're shitty?
But it's just kind of weird.
They're late on shit all the time.
That's true, yeah.
Didn't they kind of have like a... Didn't they really start like fucking up once COVID was a thing?
And yeah.
Then, like, that's when a lot of people started like removing themselves.
I think that's why DC did. Because it was like everything was stopped. Like there were no comics coming out.
They chose not to distribute, I think. Do they print as well?
I think so.
Yeah, so they like slowed shit down.
Apparently like comic book shops can still order through Diamond like Marvel stuff. But Diamond would have to order that from a different distributor now. So
oh, wow.
It's super weird. So I wonder what's going on there. But that's everything I have.
Shit. Yeah, me too. You want to get into it?
Yeah, we'll get into it. So, of course, we read Invincible by Robert Kirkman and Corey Walker. Yes. And who's the letterer? I forget.
Crabtree. Something Crabtree.
I thought he was a colorist.
Bill colors. Crabtree.
Okay. Colors. Nice. When did Audley get on Invincible?
It's like the 10th issue or something.
I think like...
It's not.
I thought it was like 8 or 9.
Yeah, it's like around there. It's not very far in. Corey Walker does like the first two trades, I think, and then he like comes back for like the last two trades. Actually,
does he?
So he comes back to do the Flaxen story with Robot and Monster Girl.
Okay.
And then he also comes back with Nolan and Allen.
Yeah, so he like so
he comes back,
he pops in every now and then.
And what's funny about him is that he told Kirkman that he's not a monthly guy. So
right.
He's a more behind the scenes type of dude because he's actually responsible for a lot of their costumes.
Okay.
Yeah.
The designs of that.
Designs and the same thing with the show too. He was consulted a lot with all that.
Do you think was I think Audley was too though?
Yeah. On the show, big time. Right?
Yeah.
That's
I'm
cool.
I'm sure they both were.
I'm glad there was room for both of them because it'd be kind of shitty to do like a bulk of the work I guess on Invincible as far as the. Like art goes, and then
yeah, because
go to Corey.
Corey Walker's like also credited as like the creator of Invincible as well.
Yeah, he's a co-creator.
So
which, yeah, that makes sense.
And then Ollie just did like a majority of like the books. So, yeah.
So
definitely both key players.
You two have read it all the way through. I think I've gone up to like issue or trade like 6 or 7 probably. So I'm pretty deep in there, but
you got a little taste.
This is still a super enjoyable book for sure.
Like, I flew probably, through this shit.
Yeah, this trade in particular is only 4 issues, and
the like way one, that, like one sitting, I was like, "Oh my god, it's over."
Yeah, the way that Kirkman writes, it's super. It's definitely not dialogue heavy. It's never really been that, but just there's a lot of really good flow. I would say, like, as you're reading, and just makes it super easy.
I think that's why I was able to finish it because, like, it's like this the entire time.
Yeah,
it's just how he writes, and it works so well.
He's easily like one of my favorite writers.
Yeah,
and the guy is a. He's an excellent businessman, too.
Absolutely, yeah. Like,
the guy just knows his shit.
Yeah. Is this your favorite Kirkman thing?
Absolutely.
What other stuff do you like? Because I've only, I think, read Walking Dead.
So outside I like, of that. I think I read Walking Dead prior to reading Invincible. Walking Dead, of course, to me, the comic will always be better than the book. Oh, I'm sorry, shit.
The show?
Always be better than the show.
Yeah, fuck the book.
But I know Dan's been trying to put me on the fucking Firepower. I have not gotten around the Firepower.
Oh, yeah, yet.
It's Firepower. So good. This is like, it's the same flow as this, but just like a different
type
you
of
know,
mystical powers and stuff.
Yeah. Exactly.
I haven't
sick.
What's that other, the horror that he does?
That Outcast.
Outcast.
Oh, yeah.
I've not read Outcast.
It's good, but super repetitive.
Is
like,
it okay?
Like, I think when he gets an idea that's, like, really good, it'll be good for a couple issues, and then if you still like the idea, you can roll with it. But, like, Outcast and, like, Oblivion Song, those seem to be those seem to be kind of, like, repetitive to me. That's why I kind of hopped off of them. But
give Oblivion Song another chance, dude. It's ending. It picks... That is a slow burn type of comic.
It really is.
Because I think... Like, every arc that he does for that comic, something always happens.
But that's like, kind of like his formula. They like, said the it's, end, it's like it's slow some burn. Some cliffhanger kind yeah. of thing.
So have you read all of that one?
Yeah, I'm caught up on Oblivion Song. Yeah.
I think I dropped off around, like, 10 or 12, but just because I was picking up a bunch of books I just wasn't reading, and I was like, I got to stop with a couple of these, so...
Try to hop back on, man. It's worth it.
It's good. The art on that's really good.
Lorenzo De Felici.
Yeah, Lorenzo, that's what it is.
French guy.
Super French. But we'll get into Invincible. So Mark is the main character. He's a normal high school kid with a dad that is like the superhero in this universe. His name is Omni-Man. Essentially just the Superman of this universe. And his dad is just kind of like often whooshing around in like the comic, just coming in and out of different scenes.
He's off whooshing.
Like for dinner and stuff. And then Mark discovers while working at his Burger Mart job that he has now developed superpowers.
This is something his dad's been telling him for like the last like, ever since he was like a kid. He's like, hey, you're going to get powers. Like, it's going to be the real deal.
This is like my favorite way of discovering that you have powers, because it's just so funny. Like,
nonchalant.
He's like taking out the trash, and then all of a sudden he just beams it into the air. Just like, it's so funny because it's just silent, like that whole page, and then all of a sudden like a trash bag is just like 100 feet in the air. I just think it's so good.
It's a great scene.
I think Kirkman does humor like that like super well, especially for this book. And then Corey Walker definitely sells it. But he tries to get, like, a feel for his powers, and he takes down, like, these three goons that are doing, like, a diamond heist in, like, a ridiculous getup that he made himself. So his dad takes him to his suit maker, but he feels that the one that he got, which is, like, orange and yellow, isn't, like, iconic enough.
Which will later be Bulletproof's costume.
Yeah, I was like, this is so fucking familiar.
Yeah, this is cool.
Does it have the discs on it, too?
Yeah, because I thought it was funny because he made a Superman reference without really mentioning him, because he's like, I thought your dad's powers were solar-based.
Yeah.
So I gave him this costume, and I found out they weren't, so I scrapped it.
Yeah. Actually, in the show, this Suitmaker character is going to be played by Mark Hamill.
Yeah, that's a pretty big... That whole cast is, like, stacked.
It's fucking crazy.
Dynamite cast.
Because it's like, J.K. Simmons is Omni-Man, right?
Yeah.
The only reason I'm getting, like, Sarah to watch it with me is because Sandra Oh is, like, playing his mom. I'm like, oh, this is her new show, because she's like Grey's in Anatomy. Grey's Anatomy.
Yeah.
I'm like, Dr. Yang's in this.
Kirkman's a genius. Or whoever this casting director is.
Steven Yeun.
Mark. Great casting for this.
Super good.
I don't know if you guys noticed, but like, I kind of like how they kind of did like a little bit of a race bend on his mom. Like, I don't know if you noticed, but like, Debbie kind of has like Asian features, like Christina.
That's cool. I didn't notice.
And, like, he kind of has it, too, a little bit, but it's not distinct enough to where, you know, he's not, like...
That's
like,
good.
...different, you know what I mean?
Well, isn't he, like, considered, like, Asian American or whatever? Like,
you know, there's war out there where people say that or allude to that, but I don't really think so.
I've really comes up.
Never at all.
Yeah, that's weird.
And you can't really tell, because I guess it's not, like, clear with, like, this artwork or anything.
Yeah.
But anyway.
So while he's at school, he gets sent to the principal's office for shoving a bully into the lockers after he was bullying a kid that was like right next to him. And the principal likes that he was standing up for the little guy, and he let him go, but told him to not pick any more fights because he's not invincible. Then the very next scene is Mark in his iconic new costume stopping a crime as invincible.
Dude, so, I read 100 comics of this before realizing that like the yellow part is an eye.
Yeah. What? Are you kidding?
Dude, I'm so fucking stupid. Yeah, I did not realize
that like a couple years ago.
It's super like...
It's so subtle.
It's not like in your face like I, like people thinking that his name's I-Man or something like that. You know?
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Yeah, super good costume design. Like,
I love the colors too. Like, I just love like the yellow, black, and blue. Like, it's incorporated like in a really good way.
It's such a good... just design. It's like simple, but there's not too much going on. I like the eyes... Which is something that I think would be hard.
The goggles,
which would be hard to pull off, I think, with most other heroes.
I think live action will be really hard to pull off.
Yeah, exactly.
Or like just cosplaying in general. I'm like, how the fuck do you do that? Just get actual goggles.
I think this is like the best like superhero origin of a name, because the principal is like, don't pick any more fights. You're not invincible. And then like you see the smile on his face, and he's like, that's a good name.
I loved this, reading this the first time, because I just picked up like a random number one that was like a reprint. And like this shit was just like so refreshing.
Yeah,
because I know nothing about any of this. It's superheroes, which is cool, easy to hop onto, and it's nothing like that I knew before, like you would with like the big two.
Yeah, but it's nice to have like a clean slate like that.
Yeah, so it's super dope.
And I never noticed this before, but a lot of the high school kids that are walking around, they have like band t-shirts that are on. So there's
there's like a Slayer one.
Slayer. There's like Tool in like the very next scene where he's like shoving the kid in the locker.
I do see that,
yeah. I love shit like that. I'm always kind of looking in the background for little gags, and I've kind of gotten used to that.
See a pregnant chick in the bank? They even notice that.
Oh, yeah, there's a pregnant woman.
Yeah.
I think that's something good that Corey does too, is he does like dots on the eyes when he's like trying to, I don't even know what he's like trying to communicate.
Make somebody like far away, I guess.
Or like someone far away, or if someone's like surprised or shocked about something, for like a comedic beat, it like there's just
that
like
dots a good call the out. Yeah, I've noticed that, but I've never really like
put have to two point that two out together. If it's in here.
Yeah, I'll point it out once we get through. But yeah, we'll go on to issue two. So this one's like the origin of Omni-Man, and he's this like he's this race of aliens essentially called the Viltrumites. Is that what it is?
Mm-hmm.
And they're basically like the perfect society, and they dedicate themselves to advancing other planets and societies. And Omni-Man was a part of this crew and assigned himself to Earth, essentially. Even though the other Viltrumites were like, no, you shouldn't do that. They're, I don't know, way too developed or violent or something. But
yeah,
and the trademark mustaches.
Yep, they all have the mustaches, which I think is super funny. Just the Tom Selleck, like super thick mustache.
It's like the icing on the cake.
Yeah. That's what pulls his character together.
Dude, Jordan, like, always is trying to, like, convince me that his mustache is a good idea.
I used to have the bushiest fucking mustache.
I'm like, don't do it. Don't do it. Because he's like, I'll look like the fucking Viltrumite.
Yeah,
like,
you got that Viltrumite mustache? So, in his voyage to Earth, that's where he met Mark's mom. And then, in this story, he's actually just telling Mark as a kid that he's also going to get powers at some point. So there's actually the first sort of instance of this where Kirkman or Corey Walker uses like the same panel like over and over again to sort of create like
silence.
Yeah, like silence or like a timing thing in your head. And I think that works really well. Some people like are super against that for whatever reason. I've seen in like Twitter
comments.
Why
do more work if you don't have to?
That's what I'm saying. Like, this is a super effective way to like create timing.
They actually like it's super meta, but they like mention
fun of it later, don't
because
they?
Like there's like an actual comic that Mark like likes reading, and he goes to like a comic shop to get it signed, and then that dude like mentions
the guy that does a science dog.
Yeah,
they do a lot of gags with that guy.
Yeah. Yeah, a science dog, that's not an actual book, is it?
It was actually a really short run. I don't think it ever went anywhere. Fun. Yeah, he did it for shits and gigs.
That's cool.
So that's like an actual thing.
So now that's just like a meme in all of his books, basically. Yeah. Also, we see the first appearance of Alan the Alien in the explanation of everything.
Yeah, dude, I saw that. I'm like, oh, shit.
Wait a minute. I gotta go back.
Right here, dude.
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah,
because
he always
comes like,
back.
He's like, I'm defending the Earth. And then he like comes up to Earth and just punches him out of there.
Who's playing Alan? That was somebody big too.
Seth Rogen.
Oh, is that?
Yeah, that's gonna be awesome.
My god, I can't wait for that, dude.
I do gotta give props to Seth Rogen though, because like as goofy as he is, and a lot of people don't take him seriously, he actually has a lot of respect for comics.
I love.
He's done the best comics.
He's like one of my favorite people.
Like Preacher, The Boys.
Cool. Yeah,
like, he's responsible for all that shit.
Yeah,
yeah, because he's just like a super nerd. Yeah, who just wanted to produce all this shit. Same with Evan Goldberg.
Yeah, Evan Goldberg.
It's crazy what Seth Rogen like accomplishes, because he just started his weed company too.
I heard about that too.
Yeah, dude, they have like he's also started selling like his vases and shit.
Yeah,
he apparently makes
hella vases now.
There's like vinyls that they send you are four different strands.
Yeah, super cool.
I'm like, oh my god, I'd get another record player just for that.
Yeah, exactly. So Mark is flying around at night and sees a big dude that's stealing some stuff from a toy shop, and when he goes to stop that guy, he sees the teen team show up, and we're kind of introduced to them, And then the next day, Mark recognizes that Adam Eve on that team is in his physics class. I think the teen team is such a like good and like silly name.
It's so simple.
Yeah, it really is. For like a book where you don't need like anything diluted or complicated like that.
That's like kind of what this is.
Yeah.
Like with a lot of the names and stuff like that, like nothing is like really that dumb.
And he's established that like people's names sort of correlate with their powers.
Oh, dude, the names in this book are the best. Insane.
That's why I remember everybody's names, because it's like Rex Explode is Rex. Yeah.
Duplicate.
Perfect.
Killer. What is her, her brother's name?
Multipaul.
Multipaul. Perfect.
It's so good.
I'm like, how? It's so good.
Just a small point out. You guys notice like how his shirt kind of looks like Batman, like the Batman logo a little bit?
I was trying to figure out what that was, because I saw it's on...
It looks more like the
Viltrumite logo, but it's like flipped.
Yeah, I'm not sure what that's about. Huh. I wonder if that is something, because I see that that's like intentional, but I'm not sure.
It looks more like the Rebel logo.
Also, this dude like in the panel before, wearing like the...
Oh, he's got the red sun.
The red sun.
Yeah. And he kind of looks like Superman, because he's got the little curl. The curl like right in his... there,
yeah.
Yeah, so many like...
Oh, there's the eye thing that you're talking about.
Yeah. Because it's just supposed to be, like, I don't know, like, quirky or funny or something. But,
surprising.
And, yeah, I just like that aspect of the book a lot. So, Invincible, Robot, and Adam Eve follow the big dude stealing stuff back to his hideout. And they bust in and stop essentially the whole operation that's going on. And then Invincible is invited onto the team.
So this is actually the Mahler twins. You actually see them like throughout the rest of the book.
I remember
they are a constant gag like later on.
Yeah,
are they just kind of like made fun of?
Because they like they're one of them's a clone of the other, but they don't know who's the clone of the other.
That's right. I remember that.
And so they're just like always trying to figure that out. And then they always do some sort of like clone related like.
Yeah, because one of them got a nose ring.
Yeah, yeah. That's how you can tell one from another, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but we don't know which one's the original.
Damn. That's like, WandaVision stole that from Invincible.
Yeah, basically.
With the two visions. But yeah, meanwhile, all that's happening. A random guy wakes up in the middle of a mall with a bomb strapped on his chest, and that causes like a big explosion. So, super good cliffhanger.
So, again, I got to point out another Cory Walker reference.
Yeah,
little kid walking in the back kind of looks like Charlie Brown. Look at his shirt.
Oh, dude, shit.
Straight up Charlie Brown, yeah.
Yeah.
He's bald. He's got the same ass shirt.
Dude, that's awesome.
He wanted Charlie Brown to blow up, I guess.
You see him in like the previous panel too, with his mom.
Yeah, with his eyes.
He's got the eyes. that's cool. Yeah, super good cliffhanger.
Maybe that's what those eyes are a reference to. It's just Charlie Brown.
I also like in the page before that where there's that action scene going on. I love it when like lettering takes over like the background of what's happening and like the action. So when
punches the Mahler.
Yeah.
So much more intense.
Yeah. For whatever reason, like, lettering is as big as it possibly can be to film the panel. Like,
yeah.
That just communicates so much more to me.
This is when Robert Kirkman was doing the lettering.
Oh, really?
Before Russ Wooten.
I didn't know that.
I didn't know that either.
I don't know when Russ Wooten came in, but
writer-letterer.
He's, like, my favorite letterer because he's the only one I can remember.
He did, all of Walking Dead, too.
He does, like, everything Kirkman, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
Because I think he's on, like, Firepower and stuff.
That's cool. Good stuff. Then that just takes us to issue 3. So, it's established that the three students that went missing from their school, and they held like a big school meeting telling people not to worry or whatever, but also we find out that Adam Eve is dating Rexplode at the time, and she thinks that Mark is sort of hitting on her. And then Eve wants to investigate the bombing with Mark at the team lair, but Mark has to like work at his job, which he actually ends up quitting that day anyway.
Yeah, because boss has been a dick.
Yeah.
You see the eyes in there, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, dude, now that you pointed out, I see it everywhere.
Yeah.
I don't know why I didn't notice that. They're just black dots.
Does Burger Mart give you guys, like, Whataburger vibes?
Yeah,
yeah, like, that's a good point, because
it's orange and white.
And stripes.
Yeah.
Oh, the boss's name is Dan. That sucks.
It just seems like a shitty job to work, and then I just get, like, Whataburger. I
mean, he just looks miserable in that second panel. Like, he's just like, what the fuck
yeah,
am I
he's
doing
like,
here?
Yeah.
He's making fries.
He's like,
wants to kill himself.
Genuinely sad. So, yeah, Mark and his dad, like, go for a fly, and
get another eyes right here.
Yeah.
Yep, some more eyes.
It's everywhere.
They kind of established that Omni-Man is, like, clearly a lot quicker, and he's, like, whooshing away again and then coming back to, like, after he's, like, saved the day real quick. And then this quickly turns into a huge alien battle where the two of them are overwhelmed until they find out that the aliens, like, age exponentially faster than humans. So they essentially get really old and start losing and then leave. But it makes the fight easier, and then they win. But
so there's one thing I do want to point out. He, as soon as he throws that last Flaxen back to their dimension, it says, "Get off my planet," in bold letters. So yeah. It's almost like, is he protecting the planet because he's falling in love with it? Or is he kind of like, this is my planet?
It's kind of some foreshadowing, I think.
Yeah.
Because obviously he turns into the bad guy.
If that soon. Was, like, intentional, that's the deepest cut I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Because you don't realize the shit until, like,
I mean,
way later.
And he looks pissed off in that second panel, too.
He is.
Like, he's just, like, frustrated.
I get where you're coming from, too, because, like, that whole bubble is, like, in bold, but Mai is, like, even double bolded. So.
It's bolderer.
Yeah. So it's kind of crazy. I like that before they go in, like, on their fly, the dad's like, you should quit your job or whatever.
Yeah, or they're like washing dishes. Like, you don't need it. You can, like, be a superhero. So he doesn't even bring up that he quit his job.
I think, like, Kirkman and Corey do a really good, like, family dynamic. Even though, like, Omni-Man's super evil and shit. I think in this, like, first trade, it's very clear that they're, like,
it's a very family. Subtle.
Nathan, yeah. Spoilers.
Whatever. Everybody knows.
These people have not... Our listeners are just... listening for volume one content.
I hope we spoiled the show for you.
Hey, maybe we can do a spoiler warning.
Oh my god. Hey, everything's spoilers. Yeah. For the entire series.
I'm open.
The point of the podcast is to make people
pick it up.
Yeah, pick it up and then pick up the second trade and then go from there.
Or just hear us talk about it.
Put a spoiler warning.
What's up?
You can put a spoiler warning.
Yeah, I mean, if you don't want to know anything about Invincible, then probably shouldn't listen.
True.
There's also a quick line in here. I forget where he actually says it in this issue, but he establishes that the older you get, the more powerful you are, and that's kind of like shown a lot in the book as well because of how fucking powerful Omni-Man is.
And later on, like right when they try to get to the mall, Mark is trying really hard to catch up with Omni-Man.
Yeah,
but he can't.
That's super subtle as well. But yeah, later they're like flying around, they're trying to get back to dinner, and then Omni-Man rushes to Lakeside Mall where there's another kid with a bomb on his chest. And Omni-Man has to, like, quickly throw him into the air to save everybody from the explosion. But Mark says that was one of the kids missing from the school from the beginning of the issue. And then right at the end there, Omni-Man is kidnapped by the aliens from earlier. So
he's pulled into a portal.
Like, so quick. Like,
yeah.
And I like how nonchalant, like, they are about it, too. Like, Mark just goes back home for dinner, and he's like, hey, dad was kind of snagged by an alien. So.
Like, what do you do?
Yeah. So it kind of just shows you how used to it they are at this point. And even the mom's like, well, that's more pork chops for us. Like,
yeah, I love the sense of humor in this because that could be detrimental. Mm-hmm. But they're like, ah.
There's also first mention of the Guardians of the Globe and the Megaforce in this issue.
Yup.
So with that being said, obviously the Guardians of the Globe play a big part in the book, but the Megaforce, does that even get brought up anymore?
I can't remember them specifically.
Megaforce? Is it just like another super team?
I think it's just supposed to be another super team, but Kirkman brings in Guardians of the Globe, which, like, is basically the Justice League.
It gets to the point later on where there's just like five different super teams, and like when some big shit happens, they're just all dispatched together. To like this.
Sweet, that's how it should be.
Yeah, so I don't remember if like the Megaforce is like something else that I just don't remember, but...
Guardians of the Globe is the big one, though.
Yeah, it's like the Justice League for sure.
Yeah. So, already on the last issue, it's super breezy.
Oh my god, easy breezy cover girl.
So, easy breezy beautiful
cover girl. I always fucking forget beautiful.
Fucking idiot. I've corrected you on that before.
On the podcast.
Yeah. So, issue 4, the mom's having a hard time with kind of being married to a superhero, and we kind of see that. She still can't help but be worried about Omni-Man. But and then also, more people think that even Mark are dating at school. And they're even being heckled by their physics teacher a little bit in class.
That's just a flat-out dick.
I know.
He's just mad about everything.
Super dick. And then it turns out Robot discovers that teacher is a former weapons engineer for a company called Global Tech. I don't know if they come up again. No. Or is it just a generic business name, probably?
Generic name.
Global Tech.
Global Tech.
I do think it's funny how, like, nonchalant he is with just... doing what he's doing, telling Eve all this stuff.
Yeah.
He's not even distracted.
There's a lot of hints at them, like, dating later on, I feel like, because everybody is, like, just assuming that they're dating already. Yeah. And Eve is like, are you hitting on me right now kind of thing? But I love when they, like, are dating, like when they first start dating, I think that relationship is so strong.
Oh yeah, it's the best.
And so
better than Peter and MJ.
Yeah, for sure.
100%.
Hot take. Oof. Yeah, Robot discovers that the teacher is the one that's taking all the kids. So at the first page, Robot says like remarkable in the first issue, and I feel like if Kirkman was trying to stay like in the name, like the naming convention for all the heroes, Invincible's name would probably be Remarkable. I feel like that'd be kind of cool.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't even know his name was different.
Yeah, I saw that and I was like, ooh, Mark's in there.
He gives it away.
Yeah. But Adam, Eve, and Invincible, they go to check out the physics teacher's house, and the teacher brings them in to the house, and they find Derek, one of their schoolmates, with the bomb vest thing on. But the teacher also has one armed on his chest, so Invincible flies the teacher out to some like barren, snowy place, and then throws him, and he blows up.
Do you think the motive was kind of funny with that?
Because... No, I thought this was like a great motive, and it kind of gives you an insight on like how Kirkman writes villains. So apparently the teacher's son killed himself due to bullying, and so he always blamed like bullies in school for popular kids and stuff. And those are the kids that have had the bombs on them.
Yeah.
So he thought he was doing something.
I guess it's pretty clever, I would say.
So yeah, it's just, there's always like some deep meaning kind of thing, and there's always like this really deep thinking to all these motives, which make really interesting characters.
Yeah, he does put like a lot of thought into it for this guy to just like blow up the same issue as well.
Right.
I just love how Mark is just over his shit. Like he just stops in mid explanation. Is like, you know what? I'm done. Yeah. He just flies him away.
He's flying away. He's like, you really ruined my afternoon.
Yeah. He goes to Antarctica of all places and throws him. I guess he could have gone anywhere, but
that just goes to show how like much faster he's starting to get, because he was barely keeping up with his dad.
I don't even know where this is. Where do they live?
I assume it's just like
they. You know, there's actual hints that they that's in Maryland.
Huh?
Why is that?
Because they're right near the White House.
Because that's where what's that thing called where they always go to?
Yeah, the base. Yeah, because that's in Washington. So they allude that it's in Maryland.
That makes interesting sense. Yeah. Okay. That's cool. I really like this page where he like first flies him out of the house, because I think that there's like a really strong like sense of directing the reader's eye, because when he first comes out of the house, there's like that big boom, but also like the trail leads into the like fifth panel there.
Oh, that's a nice call.
Incredible.
Yeah. And that's like,
and then his fist in the next panel is like popping in.
Yeah, it leads you into the next panel.
Exactly.
I think that this page is like super good.
Killer.
This was also the scene at the beginning of the book, like the first couple pages.
Yeah, where he just throws a guy.
Yeah, and that draws the reader in. But yeah, then Mark kind of just goes back to for dinner, and same thing with his dad, who finally makes it back home, finally, after being in a different dimension. And for 8 months.
He had a beard in this panel. I don't know if you noticed that.
His costume's ripped.
It's so good because he like comes back, and he's like, I need to shave, but the mom like doesn't even like flinch or move. She's like thankful that he's okay, but she's not like super ecstatic
either. So he must not have been gone that long, because obviously time is going to move different in the Flaxen dimension versus ours.
This is like a week or something.
Yeah,
maybe.
Yeah, I think it was like a week and a half, maybe.
Yeah, it's basically just like a work trip, essentially. But yeah, that's the
we basically could have just read this last page, and that would have been like the podcast.
Yeah,
because explains like the whole thing.
Yeah. And then, like, that's good, too, because it's all in, like, one big bubble, so you know that they're just, like, talking, like, pretty constantly, and then the mom's like, that's nice. Who's ready for dessert?
Right.
So, super good. So, now we'll go into the next segment of our show, which is Back Matter Matters, where we look at all the cool back matter of the book.
Back Matter Matters.
And there's some, like, really good stuff in this one.
We got some unused covers with some really killer coloring.
Yeah.
I've never seen this part, either.
The my first back time.
Yeah. Actually, you mentioned Bulletproof. That was actually going to be Invincible's name.
That's
from the
right,
get-go.
Yeah.
And he was actually going to use that costume that was in the second issue or whatever it was, first issue.
I would have been okay with that.
I love how there's like more orange in this. Like it's like orange and black, and then
I feel like that works pretty well too, but I think the blue to sort of contrast the yellows definitely works a lot better.
Yeah, a lot of... A lot of pencils for just, it looks like different.
Do you see like the covers. Black and yellow costume, no blue.
Mm-hmm. And there's in his original costume design, instead of it being like an eye on his front, it's like an exclamation point that you can kind of see.
Oh, I don't like that.
I think it works kind of well because it almost looks like it goes into like the where normally like the belt is or like the logo is on like your sort of waist.
It reminds me of Madman.
Yeah, yeah. I think I guess Madman was definitely before this, right?
Yeah. I think a little he's after. Like 90s, I think, but I could be wrong.
Was that, I think that's not Invincible came out in 2001.
I don't know what it is.
Yeah, but either way, I think the what they ended up with is like perfect.
He has like a costume change like halfway through the series, and it's like black and blue.
So mostly. I don't know if you guys ever noticed, but like you know how his original costume has the kneecaps all the way up, and then like you said, he does the black and blue, and then just before the Viltrumite War, he goes back to his black, yellow, and blue, but he doesn't have the kneecaps. He just has the boots that are just right here.
And then
Tony Hawk would not approve.
There's also like these like fingerless gloves. The fingerless gloves that was like a big deal for like fans.
Really?
Yeah, they're like, bring back the fingerless gloves and bring back the kneecaps.
I was never a fan. Like, I
didn't even notice.
Yeah, I'm okay with like the kneecaps, but I preferred his Viltrumite War
costume. I've never heard anybody be passionate over fingerless gloves.
Yeah.
So, that's cool. That just shows that people are super passionate.
Pay attention to detail, too.
This bulletproof one, like, it looks like a good costume, but I just think this other, the original one that they went with stands out way more.
Omni-Man was going to be named Supra-Man. He was the
Superman,
the man of stuff, instead of man of steel.
I don't know, that costume just looks so off to me.
I don't like the forehead strap, except for like on Invincible. You know what I mean?
It just doesn't look right, especially with the mustache.
Yeah, the mustache adds like a super weird element to it for some reason.
They definitely figured it out.
Yeah, he like really pushed to go for Superman, but
guess he had a sword at one point.
His editor was like super. Like, worried that DC would go after him, so.
Yeah.
Which makes sense. I think Omni-Man works better anyway.
I like the color. I like the colors they settled on, too. Like, the...
Yeah.
The
gray.
Blue and bluish orange that they have for him.
Mm-hmm. For Omni-Man?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like a...
It's like a teal and orange, like a coral orange.
Oh, yeah, kinda. Yeah.
Yeah.
God, I'm so excited for J.K. Simmons to voice him.
Oh my God. I couldn't picture anybody else doing it.
Honestly.
No one could do it better.
Just when he said that that Jones went for that sausage line, I was like, oh.
We got a bunch of character sketches. You can kind of see how all these guys came together.
Got the teen team on there. Some of their original sketches.
Got a science dog sketch. Very important.
Looks cool. Like, they chose, like, the right breed of dog for a comic book dog, I feel.
What, a schnauzer?
Yeah. Just, like, the mustache or the beard that schnauzers have are really good.
Yeah. They got, like, Alan the Alien, like, sketches when he was in, like, one panel.
They talk about how he had to, like, come up with this design, like, super early because he shows up in issue 2. Even though he doesn't make a, like, bigger appearance until, like, 14 or something.
Right.
So
yeah, still after his dad, him and his dad.
Because that happens early on when his dad is revealed as like a bad guy, right? That's like the second trade.
It's issue 8, I think.
Yeah, so probably.
Or 11.
I know it's the end of like the first deluxe trade. You know how they have them where it's like two of these?
12s, right?
Yeah, it's like 12 maybe.
Okay. So probably like in a third
so normal that, trade. That I think would be great as like a gift for like new comic readers. Just like the first deluxe. Be like, read this shit. It ends in a twist.
That wouldn't be that thick either. And it would be super quick for people to get through.
Yeah, no, you can read in like an hour.
Yeah, that's cool. But this is definitely like a good, like, getting people to like break into comics sort of book.
Yeah, or just giving someone something new, I think.
Yeah, exactly.
The unfortunate thing is you can't just give someone a compendium because it can just be intimidating.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Especially just casual readers. Like, people like us, like, we could just get a compendium and just try to book it. But
dude, if people read fucking Lord of the Rings and
Harry Potter
and Game of Thrones and
honestly,
those fat-ass 900-page books, they can do this.
And there's no pictures.
No pictures at all.
It's unreal.
It's just describing things.
I got pictures in your head. How lame.
I'm supposed to just draw the pictures in my head? I don't get it.
Thanks.
I have a terrible imagination.
No, thank you. But yeah, that's Back Matter Matters, and that's Invincible. So, Jordan, we have a rating system on this show where we, instead of doing like 5 stars or whatever, we just think of the food places that give sizes random names. So, for instance, this is a Gotta Have It for me from Cold Stone. Okay. They have the Like It, Love It, Gotta Have It. Or if you like Starbucks, you could give this a Venti or a Trenta even.
Okay.
Or if you have any other examples.
This is definitely a Gotta Have It with like extra scoops.
Yeah.
You know, all the toppings.
Exactly.
And a waffle bowl.
Oh, wow. Yeah,
yeah, 100%.
I agree with that.
I love Red Robin, so I'm just going to say it's a Whiskey River barbecue with an extra patty.
And oh, nice. Double patty.
Beefy. And bacon.
So. That's a high praise. You don't give that out to every book, do
We're
you?
Not going
to
hear that again.
Yeah. So everybody should read this. I do want to, like... We're eventually going to read all this for our show, I think, when we get to some crazy number.
Dude, when we get to issue 144, we'll read 144.
Just promise
issues.
Me you guys have me back for, like,
absolutely,
big
yeah.
stuff.
We should. Yeah. We should. Big stuff like
I'm
that.
I'm not trying to hijack the show, but...
No. It'll be fun.
I view this as our first official episode of Trade Waiters.
If we do the whole series, we can just have you come whenever you want. Yeah, we'll be in the middle of it. Yeah. It'll be like a six-hour podcast.
Yeah, that
works. You just come for like 45 minutes.
Exactly. So, with that, we'll go into the pull list. Colin, shove it in your box.
The pull list, what did you shove in your box?
And this is our segment where we talk about the comics that we picked up this week, the comics that we read, or just anything else that we've watched and things like that. So this week for the shop was super light for me.
Dude, same, yeah.
I picked up Batman Black and White issue 4 or 3. Uh-huh. And I wasn't going to pick it up because I'm, like, kind of burnt out with, like, those anthology issues.
Really?
Because there's a lot coming out. But I saw that, like, Chip Zdarsky wrote one.
Mm.
Daniel Warren Johnson wrote and drew a story of Batman.
Spicy.
So super good. So I read that, and it was pretty awesome.
Sick.
I also picked up a number one. It's Teen Titans Academy. Which is a...
I saw that.
And I wasn't going to pick it up, but an artist that I really like is on it. His name is Rafa Sandoval.
It seems like a Teen Titans Go, but like...
So, I was super surprised by it, actually.
Okay.
It's essentially, the idea is the original Teen Titans, so like Starfire and like it's Nightwing in this one, they're like Titans now, and they are doing an academy for... gifted youngsters in the big T tower.
So it's like an X-Men type of thing.
So they made it like an X-Men type thing, and it works so well.
Really?
It's really cool.
It's called Teen Titans Academy?
Teen Titans Academy, yeah.
Interesting.
And like, there's hints at Red X coming back, which is...
Oh, shit.
Yeah, Robin's like...
Is that... Didn't they have a variant cover of that?
I picked up that one, yeah.
Nice.
And it's super cool. So like, there's the Titans, and they're over everything. Good. Yep. So issue one just came out, and that's like the kids like...
That
showing
does
up.
Look killer.
So,
who's the artist?
Rafa Sandoval. He did a lot of Green Lantern.
Okay.
So they also have like the Teen Titans, like normally, like going out and doing stuff. And those are like the upperclassmen, essentially.
Sure.
So they brought back like Bunker. And they have
Bunker's been gone for a minute.
Bunker's great. I love Bunker.
Cyborg on there?
Cyborg's part of the Titans. So he's like the top of the hierarchy. Like the Teen Titans that we all like know and love, they're at the top. And there's still a lot of focus on them.
And then there's Titans.
And then there's...
The Titans are like the old Teen Titans. Okay. But they're still the Teen Titans, which are actually still teens.
There's like
Diana
Kid Flash.
Prince or...
Kid Flash. Events.
Well, she's dead though, so never mind.
Yeah. And then the little ones are part of the Teen Titans Academy. And they actually have some like good original designs. There's one that there's a little girl called Stitch, and she looks like a variant of like Ragman almost.
Okay.
And that one's super cool. But they have like, it seems like they put a lot of work into this. So I was super surprised by the first issue.
Gotcha. Yeah.
So I recommend that one. I read a lot of things this week, actually. Radiant Black number 2. That's still really good.
Still have not read that.
It's good.
I hear good things about it.
Yeah. Main character's name is Nathan. That's not why I read it though. It's still good.
So drop it.
Justice League I picked up this week last week and that's Brian Michael Bendis's beginning run on Justice League.
Ultimate Spider-Man.
Yep he did that.
I love that.
He's been doing Superman for a little bit, but now he moved over to Justice League. But at the end of this issue he brought in Naomi as well.
Okay.
Which we did the book on, but
right.
That looks super promising as well. And then I read Ultra Mega.
I was about to bring that up. Yeah,
have you read it?
I loved it. I thought it was great.
Unbelievable, right?
Really?
So, like, picture Pacific Rim, but instead of, like, you know, robots and shit, it's flesh and blood, pretty much.
Like, people become, like, the kaijus or whatever?
So, basically, like, the story is where people get infected with a kaiju virus.
Okay.
And they basically, it can happen just at random, and it's about, what's the main character's name? without spoiling too much. He's got the mustache.
I forget what his name is, like Rick.
Some shit like that. I think,
yeah.
He basically gets talked to by like this this random entity, and he gives him this power to go fight these kaijus. And basically, as like the years go on, him and like two other guys have the same power of the Ultra Mega. And anytime he's around someone that has a virus, it'll trigger him to grow big, and it'll also trigger that person to have an event where they turn into a kaiju.
And they're like devastating, like fights. Like, they have to evacuate, like, a square mile in general for them to just fight and knock down buildings. And James Herron is the artist. He's also the writer for
He's doing all of it. And it was, like, a, what, like, 44 pages?
It's, like, a thick... I think it might even be, like... Yeah, probably 40-something, but... yeah, it's, like, he's going all out. I think he's, like, as creative, like, from an art perspective as Daniel Warren Johnson.
Okay.
And he gives off that
That's
vibe.
Very similar.
Yeah. And I don't say it lightly because I love Daniel Warren Johnson like
right.
fuck ton. Look,
like that's some of the art right there.
Yeah, and the big like, I guess I love the reveal at the end. I want Daniel to read it, so I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah, I'm not gonna show him anymore. But I was that.
I got last two part, recommendations now. Now I gotta buy it.
Yeah,
that,
I know
that part. Last part fucked me up though.
And the like twist as well at the end where I'm like, holy shit, this is bigger than
first
I thought.
Issue already a twist.
Yeah,
oh my goodness.
Well, it comes out every 3 months, I think.
No, it's coming out next month. I looked it up.
Really?
Yeah. So next month, but they're like $7 each because like
it's totally worth it.
Because they're fat. It's like 44 pages, but they're worth it, man.
100%. Yeah. Super good. Super bloody. Lots of detail. He doesn't cut any corners with how crazy it is.
When you get to like the last part of the book, it'll fuck you up, man. Like,
yeah.
There's a part where you're like, damn, did that really just fucking happen? Like,
I know.
All right. I'll pick it up.
Super cool. Did you read anything else, Jordan?
Nah, not for me. I was reading Ryan Stegman's Venom for a while.
Oh, great.
But I fell off like so long ago. But like that's what ends up happening with me is that like I like the idea of reading a bunch of shit like during the month. And then like eventually I just like fall off.
I fell off of Venom just after like Absolute Carnage, I would say. I still like it and I want to read it, but that's kind of like where I fell off. But I love Ryan Stegman's work.
Yeah.
He's super good. What about you, Daniel?
So all I had this week was Barbalian 5, which is the end of that run.
Oh, yeah. I picked that up as well.
And then did you see Alien?
I did see Alien, and I was like, maybe I'll pick that up because it's a light week. And I picked it up. I looked at the art, and I was like, nope.
Like Xeno Alien? Really?
Xenomorph Alien,
yeah.
Yeah, so, Marvel picked up, they have...
I forgot they own everything.
...the for Predator and Alien, so...
I'm excited for Predator when that comes out. I didn't even know Alien was coming out this week.
Yeah, I was like, oh, heck yeah.
And so...
Right?
Yeah. Okay. So I like picked it up and I flipped through the art and it looks like they tried... I don't know what it is about it, but it looks very digital and they tried to be like very... Like that part looks sick, but... Like when people are just like talking to each other, it seems like they tried to like photo reference like a little bit too hard almost.
Okay.
Which is why I didn't pick it up.
Like kind of like a clay animation kind of look.
Yeah, like they tried to like take actual photo. I don't know if those are actual characters in Alien either, but I don't know.
That doesn't turn me off too much.
Something about that, yeah. And I just decided not to because I got other books to read.
Right.
So.
Did you watch anything?
Yeah. Just the big two things. And then Sophia wants to watch like Black Butler with me, which is like an anime.
Okay.
And we've watched like the first couple episodes. And I'm not like crazy about it, but it's like her favorite thing. So I'm going to keep going with it.
So you have to.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, but that's it other than Justice League and Falcon and Winter Soldier. What
I watched like hella movies. We're still working on the Marvel shit. Got through Iron Man 2 and Thor. And then we watched this movie called Haunt. It's like a Shudder like horror movie.
Okay.
It's about like just these kids that go to this pop-up like horror or like haunted house and they just end up all getting killed. It was okay.
Nice.
Yeah, it was fine.
Spoilers.
You don't have to watch it. I just wanted to watch it because they all had like... No, not that.
Oh.
They all had masks and it looked really fucking creepy. And so, because I don't know, I think people with masks is... weird.
Yeah,
I see it now.
Yeah, so that's what it was. It was fine.
Actually, I did actually watch My Octopus Teacher.
Really?
The documentary. Yeah, it's super good.
Really?
Okay. I doubt that that octopus has any higher education training.
Yeah, definitely.
But yeah, super good. And it's funny because I was like, I wanted to work it at home, like doing calisthenics and stuff, but I wanted something on the TV. So I put on my octopus teacher, and I wasn't doing very good with my in my workout. But right when I was about to like be like, man, this isn't worth it, the octopus gets, there's like a shark that comes in, bites off the octopus's like tentacle. And then the octopus just like deals with it and goes through life. And it like teaches the guy, and he's like, taught me that I can get through anything or whatever. And I'm like, God damn it, I can't fucking stop my workout now. But like the octopus starts to like regrow a tentacle. It's like incredible.
They actually do that?
Apparently. I didn't. It's like a fucking gecko with like tails and shit. But, and then it like grows fully, and you wouldn't even know that he had like a whole ass tentacle bit off him.
Wow.
And that octopus was like incredible, like super smart. It was basically like a puppy.
Okay.
It's crazy. I really do recommend it. It's only like, it's a little less than an hour and a half.
Okay.
So if you want, it's got like nominated for a couple awards and stuff, so I do recommend it.
Okay. The other day I watched this other movie, it was called Sightless. It's on Netflix. And this is like a little hidden gem in Netflix movies. You know, you'd be scrolling for hours. I honestly didn't want to watch it based off of the little clip that they give you.
Okay.
But it ended up being like super underrated, and I actually, it was like only an hour and a half in, I was completely like engaged the entire time.
Cool.
It's about this girl who like gets sprayed with some sort of acid and like loses her eyesight, right? And then she
Daredevil.
Right. Not quite. And so she gets put into like this new apartment that her brother sets her up in, and then there's like she's got like a care person or whatever. And then like everything just seems kind of weird to her, and then just things start to kind of unfold, and there's like some twists to it. Just super satisfying. I definitely recommend it if you really have nothing to watch. But
cool.
I'm not very good at explaining things, but I literally don't want to give away like anything.
Okay. You know what I mean? What was it called?
Sightless.
Sightless. Gotcha.
But yeah, did you watch anything recently?
Besides the hat cut, no, I'm just kidding. Besides that, no, not really. I've been trying to prep for MonsterVerse, so I've been watching some of the Godzilla films with my son. So
you're hyping up for Godzilla. And Kong.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, one thing that I did watch, not recently, it was like maybe a couple weeks ago, was the animated Mortal Kombat. Have you guys seen that before?
I heard it's good, right?
It's awesome. One of my friends put me onto it, and it's basically like a... It's like just like a overall origin story of like how everything comes to fruition in the MK universe.
That's cool.
And it talks about like Scorpio's origin, like, you know, how he went to hell and how he is now and all that.
Oh, that sounds sick.
That sounds kind of dope.
And like you could feel like every punch and hit that goes on in that like that movie, kind of like similar to how I was hoping like Invincible would be. Mm-hmm. Like, there's lots of gore in it too. Like Baraka's in it. Shang Tsung.
Is that on Netflix?
It's not. You probably have to get off of Vudu.
Okay.
Okay.
So it's worth honestly. Like if you can't rent it, just buy it.
It's a show or movie?
It's a movie. It's
about, okay. Really?
I think it's an hour and 20 minutes.
Dang, that sounds super worth it.
It does sound pretty cool.
Nice.
Yeah, and then plus, I mean, that's coming out next month too, so I figured I may as well watch it. So, because I'd always known about Mortal Kombat, like I know who people are, but I never understood, like, okay, this is a Earth realm, and they're fighting for this realm and that.
Their lore is super confusing.
Yeah,
and just trying to pick it up in the games themselves, which are like not story driven games at all. It's super difficult, but that sounds pretty good.
It's good. I recommend it.
Nice.
So
we'll go into, you want to do the Falcon and the Winter Soldier first?
Yeah, Fridays are Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
So I discovered while I was writing just notes today that if you abbreviate the Falcon and Winter Soldier, you can abbreviate it to the Fat W's.
The Fat W's?
Yeah, so that's kind of what I want to call it. Okay. Just Fat W's.
Okay.
Anyway, so first episode.
I'm just confused as to why there's like broke Avengers.
Yeah, that seems fucked up, right?
Yeah, I'm like...
Yeah, they treated them like veterans.
Yeah, like,
I guess Bucky's
sleeping on the floor, and, like, Falcon, like, can't pay for anything. He's driving this beat-up truck, like a Silverado.
I mean, maybe that's, like, on purpose.
I'm like, my grandpa has that car, like...
Maybe that's, like, on purpose, almost, because there are a lot of veterans that are, like, poor, and they don't have jobs, or, like, they don't get, like, compensated as well to, like, have a, living wage.
I get that,
but like in this, you know, world,
it's just setting up like the story for like this season.
Yeah,
but it doesn't make sense.
Yeah, it is kind of wild. Well,
it's funny that you mentioned that, because like I remember in Winter Soldier, Steve Rogers had like an apartment.
Yeah.
So like it's not like he lived in like a lavish place. Like,
but he did. But there's all that shit about like he doesn't. Yeah, really,
he's pretty humble.
Like, have a home, like that, kind of thing. So,
because he was frozen for 80 years, and then
yeah,
I can't imagine his credit is very good,
right? but then another example of that, like back in like WandaVision, where like she's like driving around, she drove like a Buick sedan.
Yeah, maybe she'll just sucks. Honestly, compensating people or like the government, but even still, like.
Is it a sword now? Like Shield, like I know Shield got disbanded because of Hydra, but
yeah,
no, the sword's like the new one,
I guess. Because we didn't get any mention of Shield
because that's got that Asian guy that was in
Jimmy Woo.
Jimmy Woo. Woo.
This episode sucked because there's no Jimmy Woo.
Yeah, man. maybe the second episode.
The only fan theories I support in this show is if they have Jimmy Woo in them.
Yeah,
it's I really like that action scene in the beginning with Sam Wilson flying around, some guys in like the flying squirrel suits, which how do you expect to win against
Georgie St. Pierre made a comeback from Winter Soldier.
Yeah, he's I think
it was Balrog or something.
Yeah, Batroc.
Batroc, yeah.
And he has like kicking power, so he can kick real good.
Who is this?
Batroc. Fuck, I gotta look it up.
He was in the Winter Soldier when they were on the ship.
Yeah.
And
in the very Captain beginning America scene, fought. Captain America is just cleaning fucking shop.
Yeah, and then he shows
Batroc the Leaper.
What a great name.
Yeah. This is a shit.
Wait, so he was in the show?
Yeah. He looks like this normally.
Oh, that guy.
Yeah, that's but why it's he gives this him guy. A mustache.
Yeah, so he could look more like this. I don't know why they didn't have him in his full costume. It looks great.
You might as well.
Looks like a knockoff Wolverine cosplay.
Zemo his costume.
I know. I can't wait for that, actually.
That actually looks like really good. Yeah. I've read shit with him in it. I'm like, how would you even start to like try and make this look cool? But they did a really good job.
Ski mask, man. Yeah, ski mask
purple
is always,
ski mask.
Ski mask is always the answer.
Not only that, but it's the purple ski mask.
Yeah. They managed that. We didn't see any of him in this episode.
Yeah.
Nor did we see Sam Wilson and
so my thing
Bucky
is, like, what, like, what's going to be his beef? Like, I mean, Captain America is gone, so I mean he's just gonna fuck with Sam just because he feels like it, or
I have no idea.
You mean Zemo?
I don't even really agree with reusing a villain, but Zemo was like I thought was really good in Civil War.
I think he just has, what was his beef in Civil War? It was
his family died in Sokovia.
Yeah, okay.
So
and he kept re-listening to like voicemails.
Maybe he just, because he's part of, he's not part of Hydra, is he?
No,
he operates on his own. Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah.
I guess he kept
trying to get stuff from Hydra operatives.
Yeah. The only thing I can see is that he still wants something to do with Winter Soldier.
Yeah.
Yeah, so. It's definitely the connection.
Yeah. There's a part where you like Winter Soldier goes on like a date, right?
Uh-huh.
Who's that actress?
I have no idea. I think she's new.
Is she new?
I don't think she's in anything.
Okay. But like, I like that he was concealing like his metal arm and he like didn't.
He had gloves on.
But, I mean,
I was trying to think of like a million different reasons as to why he had gloves on.
Yeah, for like, circulation.
Yeah. I'm like,
I think he's just hide it.
He's got a skin condition or something.
Yeah, he just wanted to hide it.
Yeah.
If anything, on your first date, you show a girl that.
Yeah. Just
how
be
can
like,
you say no to that?
Just be like, it's a really dope prosthetic. Yeah.
Yeah. Look at this. And then you can make a really sad backstory if you don't reveal that you were a fucking brainwashed killing machine. You could say that you tried to save a kid from a collapsing building and you lost your arm.
You can just retell the story of like iRobot, like how Will Smith lost his arm.
Yeah, exactly.
So anyway, it's it was a little slow this first episode. Like there's like a therapy session and shit, but
I liked that.
I get that. Like there's gonna be balance.
I felt it made him a little bit more grounded as an individual.
Oh, for sure.
Because you never really see like
the back end,
the repercussions of him doing all the stuff.
Psychologically,
he's a
messed up person for sure.
Yeah,
it's just weird seeing Bucky go to therapy and he's like talking about killing people and stuff, and then Sam Wilson just kills like 100 guys in that first scene.
Yeah, hasn't like caught up with them yet.
I guess not, but he's just like used to it. And I guess there's more with Bucky because he's been like brainwashed and stuff. But
sure,
yeah.
I guess we'll see how that goes.
I like
next week.
I like Yori. in it as well. The old Asian man. Oh, yeah, he's dope. Yeah. It's really sad that Bucky killed his kid because...
Wait, Bucky killed his kid?
Yeah,
yeah, they alluded to that.
You didn't pick that up?
Yeah, no.
He has a dream, dude, and he's shooting him because he was a witness.
The guy that was trying to, like, get the keys
in
the
door. I didn't piece that together. So that nightmare wasn't just a nightmare. It was, like, something that he lived.
It's something that he did, yeah.
Is that why he's friends with him?
We don't know. I would assume so.
No, because remember his therapist tells him to make
amends
with people, and that's why he's friends with his dad, because he killed his son.
But he's
he's got the thickens. He's got the list, and I didn't see any initial
he crossed him off.
Did he?
Yeah.
Oh, damn.
So I think he was going to leave his place and disappear because he felt bad about it.
Something about sad old people really gets me, I think.
Oh, it fucks me up, dude.
Especially like sad old like Asian people also hits like also hits super hard for some reason.
They eat their ramen very sad.
So like if this Yori dude is like a really good actor, it's going to fuck me up. Absolutely.
Oh yeah.
So
I'm ready.
Yeah, I like it so far. I like that it started slow.
Yeah, I'm like okay with the pacing of it.
Seems like there's great action, so I think it'll be good going forward.
Yeah,
I just need the red, white, and blue Falcon costume.
That'll be sick.
That's gotta be where it's going, because there's no. He put it in a museum, and then they got this phony one to be like a rep, basically, like how they did in the first Avenger, where he wasn't really fighting anybody. He was just for propaganda.
U.S. agent comes up at the end.
I hear that guy is like...
It, is that what they're calling him?
John Walker is his name, John I think. John
Walker. No, that's actually Kurt Russell's son.
I didn't know that. That's cool.
U.S. agent. Yeah, yeah.
He's also in that one movie, that World War II movie with the zombies in it.
That's a good fucking movie. What was that called?
That's what I'm trying to fucking remember. His name's Wyatt Russell.
Does
it
start with a C?
I gotta look it up. I have it.
Yeah, that was like super underrated.
I agree.
I feel like I watched it and no one was talking about it.
Overlord.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought that was a video game movie.
No.
it is an Overlord game.
It's about zombies in World War II.
Yeah. They do a pretty good job like making that story.
Really?
Yeah, it's very good.
I think I've seen that like either on Netflix or like Amazon Prime or something, and I was like, this looks bad. And then scroll past it.
No. It's very good.
It's actually got good reviews.
That's cool.
That's good. I think people that have watched it have liked it. So
yeah.
Let's see. What else are we talking about?
We got U.S. Agent.
Do you have anything more on that?
Nope. You want to do a Justice League?
Yeah, let's do it.
Snyder Cut?
That shit was long.
Super long.
I didn't feel like... You just kind of noticed that it was long, but I don't think it really dragged out until like the very end when the movie was like actually over.
It felt like it dragged.
And then they just added shit to the end.
The epilogue was like, come on, dude, let me out.
It's just like him like fucking around at that point. It seemed like.
It's crazy that it was 4 hours, and maybe like only we would like think about this because we're just trying to figure out what differences there are. But like that 4 hours didn't seem that long.
No.
The pacing of it's
like. It
was
a fast watch.
Like the pacing of it.
I can't
say
the same
good.
For The Irishman. I was dreading for that movie to be over.
Yeah.
I had nothing against Martin Scorsese, but that movie just felt long as fuck to me. This one, it was a fun watch. And
it felt like maybe a 2.5 hour normal movie, I would say.
Yeah. I feel like you could even still cut it now to make it 3. You could.
So they came out with a revelation that 10% of the movie is in slow mo.
Yeah.
Which is approximately like 20 minutes of the movie.
Yeah,
and I'm okay with slow-mo, like with the Flash, I felt was appropriate because obviously he's perceiving everything slower because he's moving really fast, but like if you just had like random slow-mo events, I'm just kind of like, fuck?
Like, why? Like, yeah. Why? I think everybody had the idea of just like, what would it look like if these people were moving normal speed? I think it's because like the reshoots had to be done largely during like a pandemic going on, and so maybe making it slow-mo makes it, I don't know, look not as wonky maybe. That's what I feel like probably was the reason for it.
As we were watching it, we were like, if there was an actual drinking game for this, like every time there's slow-mo, it'd be fucking hammered.
Yeah.
Like the first half hour.
You'd be gone.
There was a review that I saw where someone made a good point where it was like, they felt like a few characters had music videos. Like Lois, and then...
The Wonder Woman, like,
sucks.
Singing fucking got on my nerves. That shit... Yeah, it kept fucking playing every time she was on screen.
I got like major 300 vibes every time that came on.
It was so weird.
Like, I liked it the first couple times, maybe, but like every single scene, like it replaced the like.
That's like, more so horrible.
I feel like that works with even better after a while.
Nah, that was metal as fuck.
Yeah, yeah. Super metal. Yeah, I hated that music.
But they definitely took out everything that I absolutely disliked in the theatrical version, which is good.
Fucking hate that version though.
And then yeah, absolutely.
I thought it was alright.
And then they made everything gray, like how Zack Snyder movies are.
I fucking hate that.
I think it's kind of
color
cool.
palette.
I fucking hate it.
He would do it. Great with Gears of War.
Yeah, oh, among yeah, Gears kill of War. It. But like no, because he'd make all the blood fucking gray.
He has a hard on for blood splatter. I don't know if you guys have noticed, but like
yeah, dude, 300.
I could see him in a Gears of War.
That's okay with 300 because obviously there's Spartans, but like when you see just Wonder Woman throw a dude against the wall, like
splatter all over the place. Blood.
Yeah.
I think with that kick, that's going to cause some blood. You know what I mean?
I saw a lot on Twitter, like there's an announcement that they were going to release the same movie, but in black and white.
Oh,
and
it's already on there. Yeah.
Oh, is it already on there?
It's not the same. So
it's basically the same movie.
It's the same movie.
It's not going to add anything. I feel like the colors.
It doesn't add anything.
They get rid of like the last 5% of color that's in that stupid movie. Yeah.
I think the only movie that deserves a black and white viewing is Logan.
Absolutely.
That'd be fucking dope.
It's out.
I think it's out.
They have that? Okay. Yeah. That's a great idea.
Yeah, it's cool. What'd you guys think of just all the villains? So,
I love that Darkseid was in it.
Steppenwolf.
Steppenwolf was so fucking sick. He has such a much better like background. Like when he shows up in the theatrical, he just fucking shows up and is like, give me the box and that's it. And then like in this movie, he's like, yeah, give me the box. But then you find out later on he has more of a motive.
Yeah. Like, I have to prove myself. That, yeah. Like his whole character in this is much better.
Like the reason that they're there makes so much more sense. Like as well,
yeah,
and just they explain like what all the mother boxes do and shit like a lot better.
Another thing I thought that was great in this one is that he talks about the Unity, which is the event that happens when the mother boxes are together, but in the theatrical version he just keeps saying mother.
Yeah,
and I just thought it was like the dumbest shit because I'm just like, why does he keep saying mother like over and over again, you know?
I still don't really like his costume. Like, I get the functionality of, like, the knives and stuff, but it's not good, right?
I think it looks like a CGI mess.
It's pretty crazy. I think, like, how it is in the comics, like, a little bit simpler is much better. I think maybe the theatrical might be better.
As far as the design goes?
Yeah, just the design.
Yeah.
As far as, like, story?
That's just too much. It looks like a Transformer.
Make it more, like, invincible. Just, like, a couple pieces, essentially.
Three colors, stick to it.
Yeah, blue, yellow.
For 90 issues, and then switch it.
Yeah. Like, it's better than Justice League original, like, theatrical, but it's not that much better as far as, like, a design. Like, all three of them are just big gray villains, and it's not that good.
Well, one thing
like, Desaad didn't need to be in this, I don't think.
Yeah.
He's just, like, a messenger boy.
I think that's kind of cool, because it creates more of, like, a...
hierarchy, I guess?
More of, like, I guess, importance if Darkseid is in a scene.
Sure.
Because like, if he's just, like, talking to him like he's fucking... the Emperor from Star Wars or whatever. Like,
yeah, I can see complaints with that.
Yeah.
Okay.
One thing I did enjoy about this movie is that they just fleshed out the Flash and Cyborg way better.
Oh yeah. The Cyborg shit is awesome.
I thought he was one of the better characters. Now that I've honestly watched it probably like 6 times, but the only reason why
what do you, I watched wait, it 6 wait, times, wait, hold on. This the 4-hour
I work a split shift, so I always put it on like right when I start, so that way I kind of know exactly when my shift is coming to an end.
You're like, oh, Cyborg is stealing from the government. I got like 2 hours left.
Yeah, exactly.
I get he's got a lot to be mad about, but like how broody he was the entire movie. Like he's like one pitch like the entire movie, and it gets a little redundant for me. But
I mean, I wouldn't be super happy about the situation.
Yeah, because at the
end I'd be pretty stoked, honestly.
His dad, like. Was absent, and then he makes him a freak of nature, so then he's kind of pissed off about it.
I wish there was more human component to Cyborg, just like in the in the comics now.
Like
even.
A bicep and like
I want some thigh in there,
some leg.
That's a good point, because like it's literally just
he's just face. A he's a hunk of fucking scrap metal.
Yeah.
He looks
it's
bad.
It's too much, and for
the,
sure.
The other thing I liked about the theatrical version is that it had the red circle like it does in, mm-hmm. in, you know, in the comics. But this, I just didn't really like the...
It's kind of there, but it's like not it's there subtle. All the time. Yeah.
Yeah.
The part in the theatrical version, like it's like at the end, he just changes his whole exterior to look like... And it looks way better.
Yeah.
Because like, this has been that way the whole time.
You can see pieces. That's
yeah,
why, like,
exactly.
You don't know... Your mind doesn't know what you're looking at when you're like using your peripheral to look at like Cyborg's body.
Like after the accident, he had like an arm, his like entire torso and his head.
Yeah.
And
his
so
legs are gone.
All that and shit's so gone now.
Yeah. I guess it's just under there. I don't know.
It's weird.
But
I do like his character a lot more though. Like it's cool that he, the way that they explain it, even though it's like super weird, like
it's like standard superhero the shit trope.
Yeah, the way that they actually explained it when there's like a bull and like a man fighting or whatever, like I was like, I don't know what's going on here, but like once you get the point of what his powers are,
like when he walks into the bank,
into the bank and then can see all cameras and shit like that, that's a lot cooler. And it's natural that he's a much bigger role in this because he is connected to a mother box, mm-hmm. and I feel like that wasn't that prominent in the theatrical. So it like everybody has like a thing to do in this,
yeah,
at least in the finale, like. Everybody like plays a different part, whereas in the theatrical cut, Batman's like, all right, I brought you all here, but I'm going to go in alone, so don't follow me. And you're like, why did you bring them? And then everybody's just kind of running around.
That's a really good point. I never thought about it like that, because they actually did have a plan in this.
Yeah.
But in the theatrical, they're just like, do whatever.
Like, Flash is like running around doing shit. Cyborg's got the thing. And it's like, they're not just waiting for Superman to show up. Like, he shows up, but it's they could have done it without him, I think. Which
yeah,
is
they
important.
Didn't expect him to come.
It just kind of helps.
That is a really good point. I have never pieced it together like that.
Yeah. Even like Batman had stuff he was like doing like outside of everything.
Yeah.
And he got most of like the
Parademons.
Parademons. Wait, I forget their name every time.
Yeah.
Parademons were cool though in this too. I don't know if there's
I've
much
always
change.
Liked them. Yeah, it seemed like they're about the same.
The dumbest part about this movie still though is well, actually, the coolest part. No, the coolest part was the scene where Darkseid initially gets
shows up.
Oh yeah,
everybody fights him off.
100% the best part.
The dumbest shit is the Green Lantern part. Let's be honest, but
like, I thought that was correct.
Honestly, the dumbest shit is Martian Manhunter.
Yeah, he's pretty bad.
Yeah,
but like you can take him out the movie and it would still be the same movie.
No one would have missed him.
Yeah, it. I guess it's like
that's
kinda cool
setting
to see
up
him live
as
action.
If there's more, but there isn't more. So why have it?
Oh, I mean,
I just don't like the fact that, like, because here's my thing with Martian Manhunter. I don't like first of all, like did he just tell Lois to go show up to work because the Justice they're gonna bring back Superman, so she just ironically just shows up the same day that they're reviving him, and then second of all, he just drops by to talk to Bruce like a schoolgirl and be like, hey. You know, hit me up when you need help. I really like what you're doing, but you know, let me know what's going on next time.
Yeah,
I thought that was just so pointless.
It is weird.
It'd be like, I know Superman. I was in his movie, so don't worry about that.
Yeah,
and they could have moved the nightmare scene to like the middle of the movie
for sure.
Because I felt like if he had the dream before, or like in the process of him trying to form the league, I feel like it would have held more weight when they actually did form. But the fact that he, 100%. Like, in the epilogue, he's having a nightmare. Like, the fuck you having a nightmare for? You already stopped it. Like,
yeah, the nightmare, it was so weird. Like, it was almost like a weird, desperate attempt almost to get people, fan like, service. Engaged in this again. And maybe it worked, because a lot of people were raving about it. But
I wouldn't have noticed a lot of differences, like, in this movie, if, like, the nightmare shit was at the end.
Yeah.
Because it seemed like mostly the same movie, and then, like, some more Cyborg stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they did do pretty... Yeah, more Cyborg, Flash. They had some more Wonder Woman stuff. But yeah, that scene at the end was, like... It's so weird, because it's like, why is Joker there? Like, what's going
unnecessary.
On?
I guess he's on the team. Like, the nightmare team.
What I thought seeing Deathstroke was cool.
The only reason I could think that
yeah,
Joker...
Yeah, Mohawk... Pretty cool.
Yeah, he looks really good. Joe
Manganiello or whatever.
Manganiello. He looks great.
Manganiello.
Yeah, he looks really good. But and the Flash had like his weird costume as well.
Yeah,
mechanical.
Yeah.
But Joker was. This was the worst version of Joker, right?
He's
much
not...
better in Suicide Squad.
They were just trying really hard.
I don't know. I mean, I was okay with his speech pattern, but I always thought the laughs were kind of
I hated the speech pattern.
The laugh was awful in this. Like, yes. The worst Joker laugh.
Yeah.
I think they were just trying to make him seem like I don't know, philosophical or something.
Which is weird.
Like, especially for the reach around line that he had.
Yeah, that's kind of cringy.
Yeah, they're just really trying to, I don't know, either redeem him or something, or put him in something.
Jared Leto's the same guy that said that he was off the map for, I don't know, like 4 days before he found out that COVID was a thing.
I know.
Right.
The guy is such a...
He's such a
jerk off. I like him in movies, but I just feel like that's like the most tool bag thing to say.
It really is.
Yeah.
He's like, I just came back from a spiritual journey and everything's fucked up. Yeah, it's dumb. And like, I hated that... I didn't like that Batman said the F word. Like, he said fucking as well.
Yeah.
And like, because he doesn't say it to anybody else, and it's not even like that cool when he says it. It almost just makes him seem weaker.
I think Zack Snyder just has a hard on for like being edgy.
I think so. Like, it didn't work for me.
Is that the only reason? Is the movie like R?
Yeah, it's rated,
yeah, it's
R.
Rated R.
Is that, I mean, the only reason?
No, there's blood. Like, especially when he's chopping up the Atlanteans and Amazonians, there's blood splatter.
There's some good blood.
Because he cut someone in half in Atlantis.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys noticed that, but...
So what I didn't understand is, in that, like, first initial Darkseid scene, he, like, leaves the anti-life equation there, and then they leave, but then they don't know where the anti-life equation is?
Well, they didn't...
Is that what happened?
They didn't remember what, like...
What planet they were on,
for some reason.
You don't write it down?
I guess not.
You don't put it in your phone. Guess not, man. You know, you don't like.
Maybe it wasn't named. You don't have Earth like at the time or something.
You don't have like autopilot logs. That's a big thing to misplace. It's not like just forgetting where your keys
are. All of a sudden he just finds like, oh, it's here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's like, I am certain it's here.
He fucking left it around like he forgot where his keys were. It's dumb.
I don't know.
I wish there was like a better explanation of that, because they just like, oh shit, like checks all of his pockets. Like, where'd I leave it? So weird.
I do think it's funny how like especially when Superman shows up, it's almost like the same movie where he pretty much makes Steppenwolf his bitch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Both times.
Cuts like, off the horn.
Yeah.
Super cool.
Lays it off. So I mean, he looked much better. I mean, the suit looked cooler. I do like the part where he shows up and he's like not impressed and you know, freezes his axe and it breaks. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, he definitely just like mop the floor with him like away. Like, I like how they added the part where it's like the reason why they didn't show up to Earth like earlier is because of him.
Yeah,
and they're like scared of him, so that was kind of cool.
And but
I get why that was the reason.
The thing, how would they know that
Superman's there?
But how would they know that a Kryptonian is powerful with a yellow sun? Like, how would they know that?
They probably dealt with Kryptonians before, I would imagine. Oh, Darkseid's been doing this for a while.
Yeah, he's been doing it for years. Yeah, Kryptonian's been around for a while, too.
He's attracted to Earth because of the weird yelling in the beginning.
That was so drawn out.
I was like, what is this?
That was annoying.
And it hits all the mother boxes, and they're like, yo, Earth's open, let's go.
Soup's gone.
Yeah, that part was weird.
Okay.
I liked all the added Flash stuff, like much better looking running and CG and stuff. And
that's still kind of weird running, but it's better.
Still a little funky.
I like the fact that there wasn't a stupid just save one, and I don't know how to
save people.
I just pushed people and no brunch jokes.
You're the most useful person on this team.
Easily, yeah.
I mean, so at the end, did you guys perceive that as like him time traveling at the end? Because there's people who say that like he tapped into the Speed Force and reversed the whole like event, but he only reversed what was around him instead of like time itself.
I thought he went back in time.
I imagine it's time. Yeah, he's going back in time, but like just like a little bit though to not fuck everything up.
Yeah, because remember he says, you know, this is the one rule. Don't
yeah,
do it.
Don't which means he's probably done it before.
Yeah.
So I imagine. I guess when they do come out with the Flash movie, which I think they're still doing.
Yeah.
Is it before Justice League?
I would imagine it's probably after.
Yeah.
Because they did the same thing for Aquaman.
True. Yeah, but I liked that scene a lot where he is going back in time and everybody's like
re-animated.
Getting unblown up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They were literally just like matter in the air. Like, they literally got vaporized.
Yeah, it was crazy. And you just see like... when they are getting reanimated, it's just like skull and then like blood and then skin. And I was like, that looks really sick. So that was cool.
Also, all the pervy Joss Whedon shit was taken out.
Yeah,
like, Gal Gadot's ass, and then Ezra like, on top of Gal Gadot.
Fucking weird, right?
Yeah.
Apparently he cheats on his wife a lot.
He does. He Yeah, it's like a thing where he makes like women oftentimes like main characters, like in Buffy and stuff. But
he's kind of like a Dan Schneider.
Yeah, that's such a good.
Quentin Tarantino with the feet, but at least Quentin Tarantino doesn't suck.
Yeah,
yeah,
he's just a little weird, but
it's just kind of some people can be. It's weird. Kind of feet Easter eggs that he just puts in everything.
Yeah, yeah, all the stuff in Justice League.
Did you guys know that he was like being like the biggest dick on set? Like apparently he
with
was
the Ray Fisher stuff.
Yeah, well, apparently he was calling like Wonder Woman Natasha. He was like, yeah, get Natasha up over there. Like, he didn't give a shit, like, what movie he was doing.
What is it, Avengers again? I don't know. Get her up there, though.
They basically turned him into a yes man. They're like, hey, can you do this, this, and that? And gave him a check. And he's like, all right, fuck it. Like,
yeah, so weird.
It's very weird.
So unfortunate that wasn't just this vision from the beginning. Because, I mean, not a lot of people were like, this is not better than theatrical. I think that's pretty clear.
Yeah.
Some people are still iffy if it's a good movie, which... I guess
I understand.
If I were to take a step guilty back pleasure. And look at everything, I'd think it's just all right.
There's definitely shorter guilty pleasures.
Yeah, for sure.
Like plot wise, it's not like incredible.
It's just like you got to get the thing, and you got to stop the bad guy from getting the thing first. Oh no, yeah. He's got the thing. Now let's stop
that 2-hour mandate really hurt it.
What do you mean?
What?
With the Justice version,
yeah,
the 2-hour mandate, because I remember them saying like we needed to be 2 hours,
yeah,
and it can't be anything more than that. I think that really hurt the movie,
probably, yeah. So I think that's everything I have for it.
Anything more than that?
I gave it a solid 7. And before, I mean, because I don't want this to drag on out forever, but one thing that did bother me was the Atlantean bubble talking underwater.
So weird.
How they had to, like, make separate air pockets to talk. I'm like, you're fucking Atlanteans. You can't just talk to each other underwater?
Well, and then they talk to each other in the water in Aquaman.
Yeah, they retconned it in, like, Aquaman. But I think that was something that was already filmed that they just stuck with. But there was actually a scene where... what's his name? Yeah, he was, like... They're on, like, a staircase. He's, like, looking up at them. And I think that kind of added to it. But they are underwater, but...
Yeah, cinematically, that works well, because Aquaman was framed higher than... What's-his-face? Willem Dafoe.
Kind of, like, foreshadowing with him being a king.
Yeah, or, yeah, that's kind of what they were demonstrating, which I think that did work
well. Or just kind of, like, a begging kind of thing, and kind of adds to that.
Yeah, that's a good point, too.
Yeah, but they could do that in the water. He could just be floating a little bit higher.
Sure.
Yeah,
they could.
So... Yeah, it's all right. I'm glad it's out. I'm glad I know what it is. I wish there was better Green Lantern stuff. But
I wouldn't be against another Justice League, but I'm not holding my breath. Just knowing WB, they just kind of throw dartboards.
I'm interested like what they're going to do with Flash and like Shazam, because those are definitely coming out.
I think they're just sticking with like the...
What they were planning on doing.
Like anyway. The solo movies, but not trying to force like the cinematic universe.
Yeah.
It's just kind of ambiguous.
Probably for the better.
It's all, like, in the same universe-ish.
Yeah, because then now they have, like, the Batman coming out and stuff. Probably better just be individual.
I just wish they would handle, like, just like how they handle MonsterVerse, how everything is connected. I just wish they would treat that for DC.
That seems like the route to go, because Marvel's nailed down the way that they do it. There's no...
They've set the standard.
Yeah, for sure.
DC just kind of rushed that whole process in order to catch up, and it just didn't work out.
Yep. Cool. Well, that was the poll list. Now we got to figure out what we're reading next week.
So this was Indie Week. So we got Marvel again.
Yeah.
Okay.
What Marvel shit you've been reading that you like?
Nothing.
Just from like watching like Iron Man, I was thinking maybe we could do Iron Man.
We haven't done any Iron Man.
Maybe like a Bendis or a Fraction, or if you got something on here that you want to do. We know.
Yeah, we're going to do that at some point.
I'm in the process of finishing Tom King's Vision, but it's good.
It is really good. I don't know what Iron Man is like good. I've never really liked Iron Man's books.
Have you guys ever read The Ultimates?
That would be a good one.
Do The Ultimates. Because
Mark Millar, and I think that one was Brian Hitch as well.
Oh, okay. Who's in The Ultimates?
It's the beginning of the Ultimate Universe for Marvel. So yeah, it's like an Avengers book.
Instead of them being Avengers, they're just called the Ultimates.
Yeah.
Oh, dang.
And Giant Man's in it, or Hank Pym, rather. The Wasp is in it.
Thor. Is that the one where, like, Hank Pym's, like, a huge dick in it?
Well, he's always been a dick, yeah, but they really elaborate, like, the domestic violence between him
and his wife. I have read this. Oh, my goodness.
I haven't read it,
I think, because I was just reading, like, all Mark Millar stuff.
Well, Captain America and the Wasp hook up in that comic, and him and Hank fight.
Yes, I have read this. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, Mark Millar, Brian Hitch. That's a good recommendation.
Yeah.
Let's do that.
You want to do it because our guest?
Yes.
All right, sounds good.
Whenever we have a guest on, we're like, what have you been reading that you like? And then we typically read that.
It's been forever since I read The Ultimates, but...
That's a good pick. That's, like, something that we probably would not get to for a long time.
Yeah.
It just isn't... You just don't see it a lot or hear
about it. That'll be our first Mark Millar book, I believe, as well.
So, yeah.
He's got lots of good stuff. We need to tap into him more.
Definitely.
Cool. So that's next week, and that is the show.
It is the show. You can reach us on Twitter at TradeWritersPod or give us an email. Tell us what to read.
At TradeWritersPod@gmail.com. I'm at more like Nate Thick on Twitter.
Don't follow me.
Yeah, Daniel sucks.
Do you want to plug your shit?
I ain't got nothing. I ain't important enough.
All right. Well, thanks for coming on. It was super fun.
No, thank you guys for having me. It's been a pleasure.
I didn't know how into comics you were, but yeah, it was fun talking.
Yeah, no, I mean, me and him go off all day about shit. So
yeah.
He like posts so much shit on his story, and I just rip him apart every time.
It's yeah. But it's,
I'm just like, what the fuck? I love this movie.
But you don't see like a lot of people that are like into like who's writing certain stuff or and things like that, and knowing that in general.
Yeah.
Like, even if you do like comics, not everybody does that. So.
Yeah, cool. Definitely.
Cool.
All right, cool. Thanks, all right, guys.
Later.
Bye.